Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema are here with you guys this morning. And Trevor, realized something the other day that we do on this podcast all the time. We introduce ourselves, but we don't say anything that we do or where people can find us.
I mean, the name. It's, you know, people know it. You know, Kardashian.
That is Sikkema. True.
It's, you know, right. It's similar. Very similar.
I would group you and the Kardashians in the same social realm. Thank
you. Yeah. Fashion line coming out soon, everybody. Be on the lookout for it.
But we should probably tell people where they can find our work and us in the rare event that they may actually enjoy us. You can find me at Ledyard NFL Draft on Twitter. That's LEDYARD NFL Draft. On Twitter, I do NFL draft and NFL content for FanRagSports.com and for NDTScouting.com. I do a lot of draft-focused work there. We obviously do this podcast. I do the Breaking the Plane podcast with Mark Schofield over at Inside the Pylon. And I write and cover the Steelers for Scout.com, Steel City Insider subscription-based site, if you happen to be a Steeler fan. So some of you guys know that, some of you don't. Lobbing all that out there. Take it and run with it. Trevor, where can people find you?
Yeah, I don't wear nearly as many hats as you do, but I live down in Tampa, Florida, cover the Tampa Bay Buccaneers full time, and then obviously get to do this podcast every morning. Get to join and talk to the wonderful John Ledyard every morning, which is just a treat, folks. Just a treat.
Yeah, you sound like you're not sarcastic at all. PewterReport.com, that's where they can find you, right?
PewterReport.com. Yes, sir. And then on Twitter, at Tampa Bay Trey, yeah. T-R-E.
And even if you're not a Bucs fan, Trevor tweets about a lot of draft and college stuff and just funny
and
stuff.
And tomfoolery. Yeah, just tomfoolery in general.
Lots of tomfoolery. The Fat Kelvin Twitter, the Fat that, Kelvin tweet is what pinned on your page right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Got to give people the best.
Yeah, they got to check that out at the very least. But yeah, that's a little bit about us. I don't know how you said where you live. I live about an hour and a half east of Pittsburgh. I don't know how much we should get into it, but I feel
it
like
it is interesting, like figuring out as I've gotten more and more into Twitter and gotten the chance to meet you guys. And you know, this year I got to meet a lot of you guys for the first time in person. Mm-hmm. You know, at the combine, the East-West Shrine Game, and all that. But it's funny finding out where people live because you never really know. You know, the internet could be anywhere.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just don't have their location on there. And some people, like you, they cover a crap ton of stuff. You know, and not a lot of it, you know, if you cover the Bucs full time, I assume you're probably in Florida.
Sure.
You know, if you cover the Falcons, I assume you're probably in Georgia. But like a lot of people in draft Twitter are just good writers and they do a ton of different stuff. So it's always interesting finding out actually where they decide to make a home.
Yeah, it can be a fun part of it for sure. How hot was it down there? I know you were at Bucs minicamp yesterday. How hot was it there?
It's not. Okay. So it's not hot yet. But it's so humid, it's as if you're swimming the second you get out the door. Like, you gotta, like, swim. Like, it's thick.
Right.
T-H-I-C-C, thick. Okay? It's, so, like, you just start sweating just because of the humidity. It's not even that hot yet. It's like 85, 87. Just wait till, like, check back with me in August. When I'm going to be on this podcast already, like, pre-hydrating, like, down in three Gatorades, you're going to hear me in the background.
So you say 87?
I mean,
but
it was like
100% humidity.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, like, okay. Today, like, yesterday was basically, like, 84, 85, 86, something, but, like, 100% humidity, basically.
It was 93 yesterday at Steeler practice here in Pittsburgh. Yeah, it was only, like, 60% humidity. There was a gentle little breeze, but we got hit with a monsoon halfway through practice, completely out of nowhere. Sunshine and everything.
Like my weather.
Downpoured. I mean, it was wind. It felt like a tornado was coming through, to be honest. Like, the trees started bending and like the sky got completely like gray out of nowhere. Really weird. Ben Roethlisberger started freaking out, yelling at the equipment guys to go close his sunroof and his windows because he left them open his car. And nobody saw it coming. We got hit for like a good 20 minutes. They had to move to the indoor facility and everything. It was pretty wild. But Anyway, we're here to talk about draft prospects, aren't we?
Yeah, speaking of monsoons, I don't know how that transitions. Please save me.
Speaking of monsoons, have you seen Connor Williams from Texas beat down opposing defenders similar to the way that, I don't know. But Connor Williams is good. I mean, we both watched him. I think he's going to get the short arm questions for sure. But true junior who started as a true freshman and has been.
I think he started every game he's played in.
I think you're right, actually, yeah. 23 games in his career. Yeah, that sounds about right for Texas, not playing any extra ones. Sophomore in 2016 was tabbed consensus first team All-American. CBS Sports, Football Writers Association of America, Phil Steele, Walter Camp, USA Today, all of them. So you're talking about a guy who's put forth some pretty impressive tape. I think he's going to get the short arm questions because he kind of looks like a guard. I hate to say that because I think that some guys who look like guards can play tackle and be really good. A lot of people probably said Joe Thomas looked like a guard. He's perfected things pretty nicely at the NFL level. And not to compare Williams to Thomas or that every guy that have that physical mold could potentially be Thomas, but I think that it is a little bit lazy to say in some regards. But when I say that, I just mean that teams with size thresholds and arm length thresholds are probably going to be hanging on what Williams' arm length is. And anyway, that's what I see on tape. I think that on tape it looks like his arms are shorter than your average left tackle. Would you agree, Travis? I mean, Trevor.
God, jeez.
I had to say that.
Yeah, and I think people got to, you know, when we hear that left tackles have to, will be like, oh, well, they project better as a guard. That doesn't mean they're bad. You know, left tackles get all the money just because that's kind of the way the NFL is set up. But we're seeing in today's NFL, like, you know, you need those guys in the interior. You know, Zach Martin, Travis Frederick, Ali Marpet, like whoever you want to say, these top guards in the NFL, they're huge parts of offenses, especially since offenses are getting faster. A lot of these guards, they're no longer just these giant, bouldered, short-armed guys who don't have the movement to play tackle. I know that's the narrative around playing guard, but that's not the case anymore. With a lot of these best interior offensive linemen, they're having to swing, they're having to pull different ways, they're having to move plenty that you would say that they don't have mobility problems. And I think Connor Williams is one of those guys that does really well at that area. And the reason why I think you and I say that he might be better projected at guard is just because we want to see him be dominant. You know, we want to see him get the best out of what he can be. And when you have shorter arms, it limits how, I guess, like sometimes it limits how well you can play on the edge because, you know, these defensive ends are the ones with big wingspan, like really great bend. They can bend their bodies and their ankles in certain ways where they can turn around the edge very fast. And when you don't have as long of arms to engage them, you give them an advantage. You never want to give anybody an advantage. So with Connor Williams' sake, if you put him on the inside, he doesn't have to worry about that, and you just get to watch him do what he does best, and that is just straight up bully people. Because even as a left tackle, they have him doing plenty of run blocking and edge sealing different ways, like redirecting defensive linemen, and he's just a bully. And he can finish you too. When he gets you in his block, it's not, okay, I've got you here. We're just gonna stay here. I'm gonna lock you up and we're gonna hang out here. No. He is pushing his assignment as far away from the ball and as far out of play as he possibly can. And that's something that I like to see in offensive linemen.
Yeah.
There was a Twitter rant about a month ago where people were going back and forth on finishing offensive line blocks and how important that was. But it's fun to see, and it's fun to see like a mentality of a mauler like that. So, you know, let's say, too, Texas – let's talk about his measurements a little bit. Texas has a little bit of a history of over-exaggerating or over-inflating their guys' height and weight. What do they have him listed at?
They have him at 6'6", 320. NFL Draft Scout has him at 6'4", and 5'8", and 320.
I bet he's 6'4", and a half.
Yep.
And about 310.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty fair. And that's fine. I don't have an issue with that at all.
I mean, they said that Dante Foreman played basically like over 250 pounds, the running back last year, for everybody that doesn't know. They said that he played at like 250 pounds in every single week. Like, they hyped that up because every single week, the play-by-play guy or the color guy, whoever it was like, now that's a big 250-pound running back doing that. And then we asked him ourselves at the combine, like, yo, did you really play 250 pounds? And Foreman kind of like laughed, and he's like, no, I never played.
Can you do 200. The play-by-play guy's voice one more time?
No, I can't. You got to wait for it. But it'll come back up, I promise you. The more you listen to the show, the more like little voices I'll get into it. So
what
but,
an incentive. Foreman was – what was he at the combine? He was like 233.
Yeah. There's no way he played that. I bet Foreman played at like straight up 240.
I agree. I don't even think he looked that big. I mean, big, but not that big.
Thick.
Yeah. Hashtag thick. But yeah. So anyway, Connor Williams. Yeah, I agree with you. He's probably like 310. I'm totally okay with that. I think he shows really good balance, and his hand placement in the run game was terrific. He hit reach blocks. He was running gap stuff. I thought he showed great diversity. Do need to watch more of him for sure, but was really impressed with what he did there, and definitely a finisher, a masher. That, you know, that is how he plays the game. So I'm really impressed with what I see from him. I'm not convinced that they won't make a move inside to guard, but remember, Zach Barton got moved inside to guard. He probably would have been fine and good as a tackle in the NFL.
Yep. Yep.
Cody Whitehair got moved in to center, actually, you know, guard first and then center, and he played tackle at Kansas State and was very good there. There's others, too. I can't even think. Some of the best guards and interior offensive linemen in the league, though, were high-quality tackles in college. So I don't know what will happen with Connor Williams. I'm not so much saying I would move him inside the guards so much as I'm saying this may be like what the NFL projects him to be eventually if those thresholds aren't there. But one of the bigger concerns with Williams, I think, is that he may need some time to work on NFL-type footwork, because all the spread offenses in the Big 12 get a lot of hype and get talked about a lot, all the scoring. But a lot of the time, these guys are making vertical pass sets or jump sets and just kind of attacking their guy at the line of scrimmage that are offensive linemen. And we've heard this obviously talked about a ton before with offensive linemen projecting from these types of schemes. But it doesn't really behoove you going to an NFL pro style system. Your footwork often isn't where it needs to be. Now, I think Williams' feet are very nice, very smooth, so I think he could eventually learn it and master NFL techniques, 45 degree angle sets, getting out quickly to take away two-way goes against wide nine techniques, things like that. But those are just things he doesn't get asked to do a whole lot on tape right now. So that makes it a little bit of a tougher projection for Williams. It's hard to knock him for it. It's just that's something important he'll need to do in the NFL that right now he doesn't do a ton of at Texas. And he may be able to pick it up quickly. He may not. Teams are going to have to glean that for themselves during the pre-draft process. Maybe he gets to do it a little more this season. I doubt it, but we'll see. So, yeah, all that to say, I think the tools and the traits are there athletically for Connor Williams. The technique, especially in pass protection, may take some time to get where it needs to be. If we're talking about a first round caliber pick, that may be concerning to teams in that range of the draft.
I'm okay with, like, right now, just from what I've seen from him, I think I'd totally be okay with taking him at the end of the first round. But that's just me. So yeah, both of us kind of have some Zach Martin projections for him and where he'll play. And we just, you know, don't think that that's a bad thing. Because it's, you know, playing at your best spot is always,
yeah, that's fine. That's
better it. Than, right. You know what I'm saying? It's yeah. always better than forcing it a certain way. You know, everybody likes to talk about the franchise left tackle and all this crap, but like, just play where you're your best, man. Like, mm-hmm. play where you can dominate. That's what's, you know, that's just important. But the NFL is about getting as many people to dominate at their job as you can, and that's what makes a great team. You know, let Connor Williams do what he does best. And if it's a guard, then it's a guard. You know, we've seen what happens with that Zach Martin. So, yep, those are my thoughts on him.
Yeah, I hope it's a tackle, though, it's kind of selfishly, because the NFL needs more good ones. And I think that, you know, with a little work, he could be one. You know, we'll see what the arms come in at and everything mm-hmm. else. But I don't know. I think that watching him move, I just think he has a lot of promise, and I love what he does in the run game on the edge. You know, for teams that run a lot of outside zone or, you know, counter type stuff, then he those boundaries sealed off. I just think he really collapses things on the end. Like he got out and hit a reach block on one of the Oklahoma State defensive ends and just like completely sealed off one side of the line of scrimmage. It was crazy. It was just such explosive movement out of his stance. And then got his hands kind of leveraged in the right spot and just worked his hips around. And it was just so – he built a wall right there. Yeah, moves off double teams really well, good in space. So I don't know. I'm excited to watch Connor Williams this season. I mean, 2 years under his belt. I think he's going to be better as a junior. Brings the nastiness that, if you listen to this podcast, you know that I love from the position. So I'm a big fan of that. Another guy we watched that we wanted to talk about today was Orlando Brown over at Oklahoma. And now I have to admit, when I come to these types of players, these 6'7", 6'8", 360 pounds, so much promise, like, oh, if they could just get this or just get that. Rarely is that the case with these types of players. We love to hype up the tall, long, and often big, heavy guys if they could just get their weight down, yada, yada, yada. I hardly ever end up liking those guys as prospects because they hardly ever actually work out and become something good. Having said that, when I put on Brown's tape, despite fighting that stigma when I was going into his evaluation, I found myself actually thinking he moved really well, not just for his size, but I think he moved really well. And then I guess you could say especially for his size, because he is listed at 6'7", 358 pounds on NFL Draft Scout, and even bigger, I think, over at Oklahoma's site. I thought he moved really well. I thought that he was nasty and wanted to use his size to dominate people. Another thing you don't always see with these big guys who've just kind of naturally gotten in people's way and overpowered people for years, you don't see that nasty, that finish with them a lot of the time. I thought I saw that with Orlando Brown. And I thought that he does get leveraged at times. He does struggle in that regard, but I didn't think that he carried a lot of bad weight around. Like, I didn't think he was like had this huge gut and it was just like he just needs to lose pounds. Like, I think he carries, if he's really 358, I think he carries it pretty well on his frame.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about this before the podcast started, but I think he moves really well for a guy that his size. And I'm with you. Probably not as damning, but when you see guys that are this big, you just think, like, there's no way they move well enough. The NFL is too fast. Mm. There's no way they move well enough. Because you watch everybody's tape and you have to give everybody a fair evaluation. But, like, you did see some of those narratives with Brown. You know, if you got into his chest, if you got in between his shoulders, you weren't getting away from it. He's just too big. You know, he engulfs you. But if you can make him move a little bit here and there, if you can confuse him on a quick move, yeah, he's physically not able to move his frame quick enough to then fully get in the way of you. So that still exists. However, I will say that Oklahoma has him pull and swing a little bit. And when I watched him move into space, I was a little surprised at how well that he was able to do that. And he was able to get to his spot pretty quickly and timely for when the ball was going to arrive. And so I thought, wow, you know, like, he actually moves better for a bigger guy. But the one thing that I noticed about that is that even though he can get to a spot, even though he moves well enough to get to a spot, he needs to be better with anticipation, because I would watch him move off the line, or even when he's just straight up pass blocking, and he would set himself up where he thought the rush was going to come. And then it would, whether the ball carrier moved a little bit or things changed or the defensive lineman kind of just switched it up on him, he could get blown by. And I saw that a couple of times in his tape. And that's just kind of an anticipation thing, because that just tells me it's not nearly as much of an athleticism thing, like something that can't be taught, as maybe it is more, hey, take a better angle when you're moving to this spot so that you can, you know, seal it off while you're moving, you know. And so that's something that's actually pretty teachable. So when we talk about these huge mammoth guys that, you're right, are often literally just too big to move the way that they need to move, Brown's fixes or problems are a little bit different, a little more encouraging in that sense, at least for me from what I saw.
No, I agreed. I was more impressed than I thought I'd be. But I hear what you're saying too, in that if you take a really aggressive angle, you better be right. At any size in the NFL, but especially this. And I don't care how athletic you are. Like, it's just, you're going to have a really hard time getting 360 pounds to move in a new direction at the speed that you need it to if you've taken a bad angle. So he does take really aggressive angles. sometimes he's right, sometimes he's wrong. It's definitely something he's going to have to clean up. He's going to have to get a little more nuanced with his footwork, and especially getting to the second level and kind of those targets a little bit. And even as a puller, like, he can overshoot things a little bit. You know, coming in with body control, I think, and, you know, kind of getting to the point that you know you need to be at when you're moving to especially the second level, and kind of sealing off pursuit more so than going and attacking a guy right where he's at. You know, can you get to where he's going and kind of cut things off from there? I think he needs to do a better job of that. And there's times where he leans, for sure. But overall, you know, most guys that are 6'7", 6'8", are leaning all the time. And I thought, you know, Brown showed pretty good patience and control. He can hand fight up the arc. Did a good job on Nick Bosa, a couple reps that I saw when they played Ohio State. I mean, those guys can throw edge rushers at you. They got Bosa out there. They got Sam Hubbard. They got Tyquan Lewis. And I thought, you know, based on what I saw that game, he handled himself pretty well. And so, you know, there are lapses. I don't think we're talking about a first-round guy right now with Orlando Brown. But I'm really excited to watch him this year. I'll say that. Like, I'm excited to watch a guy his size this year. You know, and that doesn't happen for me very often. Like, Zach Banner, when people were trying to hype him up before this past season, I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, no, there's no chance. And he still went too high.
Yeah.
You know, we get guys like that, like, every year, man. Roger Johnson, tall and lanky, so much potential. Nah, he's terrible. But I don't feel that way about Brown. I think there's actual promise here. And NFL teams are probably going to want somebody like him, maybe on the right side. And, you know, just based on what they typically do with guys like that, that I think he shows better in the run game than in pass protection right now. I don't know if that's a smart thing for NFL teams to do. Maybe they feel like they can give more help to the right side in a lot of situations. And that benefits them. But, yeah, I think that he has starting potential in the NFL based off the little bit that I've seen so far. I don't know if it's like week one, but.
And he has a cool, I mean, like, his story is pretty, I don't mm-hmm. want to use the word cool, but his dad played all 4 years at, I believe, South Carolina State, went on to have a 12-year NFL career. I believe it's Orlando Brown Sr. was his name. And then he, the story goes that his father passed away when his dad was 40 years old. And at that time, like, Orlando Brown Jr. said that he just, like, stopped caring about stuff and lost all kinds of motivation and all of that, and then really gained it back when he remembered kind of what his father used to tell him when he said, you know, be better than I am. Like, don't shoot for me as, you know, like, don't think that I was better than you, that I was a role model that you'll never attain. Like, it's your job to be better than I am. And that's a really cool message from a father, and it was really something that motivated Brown, he said. So, that's what he's doing. I always love rooting for prospects who have stories like that.
Right.
So, you know, it's a cool background to know about him.
Yeah, his dad definitely had a tough life, even tough time in the NFL to a degree. I always remember the story. I was a kid, but I think I was like 9 or 10 years old. It was like maybe 2000 or 1999. I think it was 1999, but I think it was Jeff Triflett was the ref, and he threw the penalty marker and went down in Brown's helmet and hit him in the eye. And he, like, pushed Triflett down because he was so mad, but there was real damage to his eye. I think he was out, like, the whole next season, and he ended up suing the NFL and all kinds of stuff. So that was just part of his story. Brown had a kind of crazy career and, you know, a lot of crazy stories. But he also brought that nastiness, and he was 6'7", 360 pounds, same size as his son, basically, and he consistently brought that nastiness. I love that when big guys do that. I don't think a lot of big guys do that enough, and so that right there gets me excited about Brown, because, you know, maybe see that drive and that passion to be great off the field as well, you know, in the off season and things like that. And there's a lot to work with if he does. I think he carries his weight really well, if he really is that as big as he's listed at. He looks as tall as he's listed at, for sure. But
agreed.
Yeah, two talented offensive tackle prospects. I think we're still on that hunt for OT1. I don't think it's sealed up or anything. Again, we'll get to our rankings you know, in August before the season starts, which we're flying through June already, man. I'm getting freaking excited, especially with NHL and NBA ending now. We need games, man. We need some games, and we got preseason football coming up in beginning of August, so like 6 weeks away. Stay strong. Stay strong, folks. We'll be back tomorrow. More offensive line talk. We're going to wrap up our thoughts on this class, and then, of course, Fan Friday, which has been everybody's favorite episode. I think our most listened episode. We're getting more listens on a Friday, which flies in the face of all podcast knowledge. But we're getting more listens on Friday's podcast because everyone loves Fan Friday for some reason. So make sure you guys stay tuned for Thursday, more offensive line talk, and Friday we'll take your questions and sound off about all things like we always do, man. Just impart wisdom and knowledge.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, be fountains of wisdom for the male culture. And
I don't know about all that.
Well, I mean, speaking for myself, not you.
You're right. Sure.
So we'll be back later in the week. Catch us on Thursday. Catch us on Friday. Keep it locked right here, baby. Locked On NFL Draft.